fourth meeting of Newport Beach Planning and Zoning Commission. First agenda item is approval of the agenda. Is there a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Is there a second? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Next item is approval of the minutes for May 7th. I was not here, so I can't comment. So are there any changes to the minutes from May 7th? Pretty short meeting, other than changing the five-minute meeting to a three-minute meeting, maybe? All right, is there a motion to approve the minutes from May 7th?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Okay, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Next agenda item is old business. This is really the only thing we have on our agenda tonight, which is the K Avenue Mixed Use Overlay District. I've asked Attorney Cole Moore. Before I get started, just to kind of provide a background on this, obviously we've been talking about this now for about a year or so, and it looks like in our, in our February meeting, so we must have approved it either in March or April, we're tracking this down, we finally came up with some language. We looked probably at about 30 or 40 different overlay districts. What we did is we kind of took an intermediate approach. Some of the overlay districts that we looked at in North Carolina, at least the language for the ordinance, were very, very flexible. I think we found one that was only about two paragraphs or one paragraph. The other one was extremely detailed in terms of actual design standards and everything like that. So we took kind of an intermediate approach to this in terms of keeping it somewhat flexible, but a little more detailed than some of the less detailed ones that we found. This is following the format that we found in several of them, where you have a definition, you have a purpose and intent, you define the overlay zone, you define the location of it, you specify permissible and prohibited uses, and then you talk about the application. So we kind of used the format that was out there. We approved the language here. I think it was a unanimous approval. And then we asked the attorney to come in, Mr. Moore, to come in and give his recommendation, and kind of caught him by surprise, I think, last time. So he suggested that he really needed to go back and kind of look at this in more detail. And then we had a number of meetings where we didn't really meet because of, folks. And so we're all here together. I guess the starting point today is the ending point of our last meeting when we were all together, which is to get the attorney's opinion as to whether the language here before we submit it to the council, and obviously for public hearings and a lot of things like that, if the language is appropriate under the laws in North Carolina. So, is there any other quick comments before I turn it over to the attorney? Oh, all right, good.
Okay. Kind of again, as the chairman mentioned, just trying to pick up where we left off, because I think a draft had kind of been put together on the overlay district, and in looking at that, the concern that I had was that it kind of contemplated a review process that could either, where there would be some discretion. Perhaps by the, I think it was to go to the planning board and then to the town council. Wasn't that kind of the, I think, the theory with the draft? It appeared to me that there was some discretion in that review process where you could say, I don't like this aspect of it, or I think that it needs more of this, and so forth. And what concerned me about that was my understanding that about the only way you could really do that would be along the lines of a special use permit to have, when you're going to, if you might be adding or subtracting conditions, basically where there's discretion to say, does it, is it okay or not? Whereas an overlay is generally just an additional set of requirements that are cut and dry that essentially John would look at almost with a check-the-box type approach. Is it there? Is it not? And then I tried to do some research, and early on in looking into it, I ran across this article by David Owens, And I had forwarded that to you. I've got a one copy. I'd be happy to make some more copies. But it essentially reinforced my understanding on that, that the only way you can have that discretionary type of review, where you might say, I like this aspect, but I'd like to see more buffering or whatever, would be either conditional use or special use, which is essentially interchangeable, those two. And this appeared to be trying to do a conditional use type item through an overlay. So, you know, in thinking about it, so we've had all this time, you know, one thought I had is that you wouldn't have to throw the baby out with the bathwater necessarily. It may be that you could make a list of things that you could identify that you could do in kind of a black or white, yes or no type setup and carry that as far as you can. And if there were a few remaining items that just wouldn't fit into that format, you could, you know, put them into a special use type setup where you would have the review and the discretion. And I didn't go so far as to try to make that list out, you know, what would fit into which. But I, you know, just mentioned that as a possibility, you know, that if you can't do all of this as an overlay, perhaps, you know, some of it could be done that way.
So what I'm hearing you say, I mean, again, we looked at a lot of them, and so what's the one that you brought in, Alan, that was from up near the mountains area?
Was that just West Edmonton, I think?
Yeah, I think that was only like a couple sentences. Mm-hmm. You know, basically says, well, submit something to us and we'll look at it and, you know, we'll think about it. You know, without much more than that, honestly. And then again, other ones were very, very specific with landscaping designs and elevations, what the elevations have to look at, like, and everything like that. So again, we took kind of an intermediate point, but you're absolutely right. When you look at the application, what we were generally thinking is that because it is, you know, right in that area, we really wanted to kind of look at the situation, because people are talking about putting in a coffee shop or a gift shop or something like that in a what is currently a residential area. You want to make sure that it kind of fits, and the only way to do that is through some sort of a discretionary process. But what I'm hearing you say is that you don't think that that's appropriate, that what we need to do is tighten the what the elevations, what the landscaping should look like, what the design elements should look like, what the signs, allowable signs would be, because we're not going to allow the sort of signs that we have in our commercial district out in residential, you know, big, you know, pole signs, stuff like that. So that's what I'm hearing you say, is that we need to revisit essentially the application process right here, where we identify 10 or 11 different things. Some of these are black and white, names of owner, development, you know, that sort of thing, but a lot of them are not. And you're saying that what we need to do is maybe look at the actual design elements and make it a more detailed.
I think you largely are kind of, unfortunately, the way the laws in North Carolina, forced into one of two choices. Either you can, you know, list these conditions and say, we're going to review them, you know, and these are kind of the criteria we would use, and that would be through the special use type process. That you say, we're going to allow these in the K Avenue mixed use district by special use, and then this would be your criteria on whether you grant or deny a special use permit. Or you could say, and you could still call it an overlay, or you might could even say it's a new zoning district, and say, okay, we're going to add a new set of restrictions, and the signs are going to go down to this, you know, and the setbacks are going to go up to, you know, I don't know that that would change, but whatever they would be. And then you would, but it would have to just be a laundry list to say, yeah, you meet the increased standards of this overlay.
The two, and I forget the exact, we've had these discussions over the last year. The reason that we can't, it's not good to do it as a special use permit process, is because you then get into the problem of spot zoning and Yeah, that the special use is technically a use, not a design element. So that represents more of a conditional use or special use rather than design elements and landscaping requirements. The reason we can't do it as a zoning, a separate zoning, is because the way the zoning is set up in Curie Beach, this actually cuts down the zoning.
Several.
Is a block in. It's not just fronting K Avenue. So it's a block in, which means that we would actually have to go through the whole process of rezoning that that area. And that would just leave half a block of purely residential down there. And again, maybe problem spot zoning. So the recommendation is that we use it as an overlay district for mixed use. But I mean, certainly what I'm hearing you say is you're not happy with the discretion that's built into some of these elements under Section E.
I think that would be problematic. One of the laws in North Carolina is that a town doesn't have any authority outside of what the legislation, the legislature delegates. And so if you have something that hasn't been defined, then you run the risk of, you know, some disgruntled party saying that we just, you know, I don't think there's authority to do it. And I would be afraid that as an overlay, but with this discretionary aspect, you know, they say there's just not the authority to do that.
Paul, does this pretty much force the commission to engage an architect to come in and develop this checklist? I mean, I don't know that we're qualified to design that for the town. And my concern would be if with a good professional, you miss something, and somebody comes in and say, all right, I've got everything on the checklist, and it doesn't really cover it, but my building's going to be cinder block painted pink. Mm-hmm. And we didn't anticipate that. So we've got to have some discretion to say, well, I'd like to have that discretion. So no, that's not what we intended.
Right. Well, I mean, that's generally not been required. You know, that's the kind of thing that's been delegated to the elected officials and their appointees, which is you all. So I think, you know, you are basically entitled to come up with the conditions you think are appropriate, you know, for that area. Usually it wouldn't get into, you know, design aspect, like technical design aspects, having to, you know, that would play into safety and things like that, or, you know, load bearing and things like that. I mean, I don't think I'd carry it that far. It might, sometimes safety would come into play if you, you know, like if it went down the road or like a special use, something like that, you know, under traffic and some, on some projects can be a criteria, you know, road. I mean, I don't know how much, there's not a lot of discretion on how that would be laid out on K Avenue, but, you know, if it was on Carolina Road, you know, that's the kind of thing that health, safety, welfare concerns were valid special use criteria. And so we need, you know, they might say you need another road, cut, gutter, you know, whatever you call it, the entrance in from the highway. You know,
a curb cut.
Yeah, curb cut. Exactly.
Well, I think looking at, you know, all these criteria within the application of Section E, several of them we could probably come up fairly quickly. When I say quickly, probably in several meetings. In terms of, you know, we could probably design a proposed sign standard for just that pretty easy by, because we worked on sign ordinances before. We could probably come up with a lighting, you know, required lighting, you know, for something like this. We could probably come up with landscape requirements for something like this, or fencing and buffering of air conditioning, or, you know, those sort of things. The only one that would really, really be kind of a difficult one, certainly it's something that we could do, would be more of the exterior design elements, as to specifying the exterior design and what it looks like, and colors, if we're interested in certain colors, so we don't want, you know, ruby red out there or something like that. That's the only one that we would probably really have to kind of pull out some already established ones.
Why don't you just install a bunch of pictures of what you would accept?
Well, that is actually the standard right now, is to include a lot of pictures in these things. And the mixed overlay is to have specification and say, for example, and then give some examples of signs or design elements. That's certainly what a lot of these more detailed ones have done.
Well, that might be an approach, too, if that's the one most problematic aspect, you know, out of this list, you know, we could take a look at the best ways to tackle that, you know. I mean, there are some jurisdictions that have architectural committees and aesthetic committees and things like that. I, you know, not looked into that in great detail, but, you know, I could explore some things like that to deal with that one facet. That's probably the most discretionary thing of all are some of the appearance aspects.
Are there any other questions? Because I think we're probably, I mean, if, you know, if that's your recommendation, we need to revisit this, obviously, before we send it on to the council for recommendations.
Well, you know, if you call it an overlay district, you're saying we have to have a requirement basically cut and stop.
Pretty much cut and dry.
So you couldn't call it an overlay district and say whoever's wants to build this overlay district has to apply for a special use permit. Or do we just call it, can we call it a different district?
Right.
And have anyone who builds has to apply for a special use?
I'm just trying to think of how those would mesh together. I mean, usually the special use scenario is, you know, a list of uses, and then you say, okay, these are done by special use,
you put standards on that,
and then when you come in for the special use, say, okay, we're going to evaluate that for, parking, adequate parking, landscaping. You just have you have some discretion, but it's also got to be where the person has some predictability as to whether they qualify. You know, looking at it, and saying, you know, but the final call is the town's.
To build on Alan's suggestion, could we keep it as an overlay district? Because we really have to have an overlay district, I think, for that rather than changing zoning. But I think to build on that is the idea of saying that, all right, in this overlay district, you can have all these different uses, and we've identified permissible uses, and we're going to fine-tune this by some SFC code stuff, too. That's another thing we're going to do. But light retail, light food service, museums, art galleries, etc. But then you say that you need a special use permit to do anything on that list, and then you come back to get the special use permit, because we do have a special use permit process. In fact, if I remember right, didn't we grab this one section E out of our special use permit process? You know, this is actually the language in the special use permit process.
So there you go.
But rather than try to specify the design elements, you simply say, all right, well, these things are allowed, but you have to get a special use permit, and then that kicks in the process that we already have in place. I mean, that's what you were suggesting.
I would rather be in a position like that than be sitting up here telling people how to build that building and what all of it.
Okay, could I ask a question? If I would like to open a little coffee shop up there, and we do it that way, where you apply for the special use permit based on these 10 things, and I would like to paint it neon green with a purple neon sign, or a purple sign, doesn't have to be neon, purple sign, and I'm not, you know, my landscaping is really hideous. Would John decide and make a recommendation that those are not acceptable, or would that be okay? We just let anybody build no matter what color or...
Well, the way we've got it is that the way it says is that, first of all, John looks at it as a preliminary review.
Yeah. Okay.
Then it goes to the planning and zoning for an informal hearing for recommendation and presentation, and then we would pass it off to the council, and then the council
so
would have
what
formal say.
So does somebody say, this is really hideous?
Well, John would say, I guess they could say, well, tough luck, I'm going to go through the process. Mm-hmm. But John, you would say, no, purple paint isn't going to work there, you know, hideous landscaping, why don't you do this and do this? And so hopefully it'd be caught even before it comes to planning and zoning. But I guess they could force the issue, they could force the issue and then push it through John, push it through us, and appeal everything and take it directly to you guys. But through the special use permit, you would then look at this and you would decide if you think it's hideous or not.
But does that authority exist in any ordinance for any other, any type of construction in town?
For me to pick and choose colors or not?
Yeah, so why is this case?
And pick and choose signs is based strictly on the size, not on what the sign looks like?
I don't have specific guidelines for exactly how the sign looks. It's
related to size, different. Seems like signs and lighting is more something more prone to be regulated. Colors, I don't know that any ordinance is going to dictate color of a house. Service station appeared, whatever.
Wilmington does.
Oh yeah, no, there are a lot of design. Yeah. There's a lot of Riceville Beach does. You know, particularly these overlay districts. That's exactly because in like, the historic downtown areas, which are overlay districts and downtowns, you know, they're very specific about what you can do there and what it's going to look like. And the thing about the special use permit right now, remember, special use permits are generally. You know, I mean, we both in commercial districts as well as residential, I mean, there are special use permits that you already have, say, a sign ordinance in a commercial district. But if someone is doing something that requires a special use permit, they have to, again, go through this process now. And it is a unique thing. And our special use permits are uses that aren't necessarily quite normal that could lead to problems. Let's say a movie theater. Let's say somebody wants to put a movie theater. Well, it's allowed in the commercial district according to our zoning, but movie theaters are going to have parking issues. They're going to, I mean, you want them to have lights until 2 o'clock in the morning. So those are the sort of things that you leave that discretion there for John, PNC, and then the city council, the town council, to go ahead and say, you've got to knock off your lighting at 12 o'clock, or you're going to put additional parking restrictions on a movie theater. So that the special use permits are used for the situations that could lead to problems. They're not the normal process that are allowed.
Well, you mentioned earlier that the signage there would probably not be like it is in the business
district. Oh, absolutely.
Do we have some specifics about what it would need?
We don't have any specifics
size
right now.
That's the kind of thing I would not want to have to leave up to John's discretion. And he, I don't know, goes off to be the building inspector chief for the county, and the next one that comes in says, oh no, I don't agree with what John agreed to. I think we should have this size sign and this. So I think, you know, something like that, we need to be a little more specific. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think legally, honestly, I don't know that I've ever seen one that starts with a review at this staff level, other than making sure maybe that the application is complete. The first review would be by the Planning and Zoning Board.
I believe what they're referencing is comments about what would be and would not be acceptable, mm-hmm. what they're going to be hit on.
Okay.
Which I would be
putting together.
I would be throwing that out there anyway.
Yeah. And a lot of special use ordinances look very similar, and they have like four criteria. And I don't have them memorized off the top of my head, but it's things like, would it be harmonious with the community in which it's going to be placed? Would it be in the
best interest
of the health, safety, and welfare, and things like that? And then the cases, the legal cases, they've gone up to Raleigh and so forth, they've kind of fleshed out what will and won't withstand, you know, scrutiny on that. But it does give you a lot of discretion, you know, and I mean, I'm not sure, you know, it might be if something was electric fuchsia that you might say that alone is enough to make it not fit in with the community, you know.
In fact, we don't even have that term there. I know I testified when the county passed their special use permit from type, that there's a lot of discretion in there, in terms of the harmonious aspect. So
right.
We don't have harmonious here. That would be a good term mm-hmm. to put in here. If you're going to have something, it should be harmonious with the surrounding area. So
I mean, that ends up being the one a lot of times, that ends up being the pivotal factor, is it or is it not harmonious, and then you know, if they say no, then the applicant, you know, they can appeal it on to court, you know, say, well, yes, it, we think it is harmonious, you know, but,
Well, how easy, I mean, it would be relatively, I'd be glad to take the first cut, like a sign, you know, sign specifications, but it's, you know, I mean, you'd want to have it exterior lit, you know, you'd want to have it relatively small, you know, maybe, I don't know, 6 square feet or something like that, probably only one sign, not on poles, you know, it'd have to be attached with it. I mean, it'd be relatively simple, I think, to write the sign requirements for this overlay district. And I'd be willing to do that. How easy would it be to write the lighting components of it? And I'm just going down the list here to see how, I mean, can you specify the number of lights, the candle? I mean, what we asked for, the radius, intensity of foot candles, type, location, is that relatively easy about what you envision would be kind of an expected thing if somebody wanted to put a gift store up?
I believe you could find examples online if you'd like to. And, you know, we do have some projects in town that was called out for, like Oceanfront Park. Put those same requirements that we're using that, put them in there.
Okay.
Things like, you know, it could be put together possibly.
How about landscaping? Would it be relatively easy to get a landscaping?
There again, we can go back to them.
I can tell you as a council member, because at the August meeting, I will probably request this on city property, but as a council member who's just been through this, I would like very much to request that they consider using plant material that is indigenous to southeastern North Carolina. Not necessarily required, but at least consider it in your design.
So I guess the direction maybe you're looking would be having the overlay with some specific requirements like lighting and signage, and then also saying that these uses would have to be done by special use. And
I mean, we can certainly put the special use, but then when it comes to the elevation, what it looks like, we could use, it has to be harmonious with, you know, rather trying to design what it would look like. Like a lot of downtown areas try to do, we can simply say that, you know, it has to be considered harmonious with the surrounding areas. You use the language that is in all the special use permit processes, and that would allow the discretion. But I think we've probably tightened it up in a lot of the other elements. You know, I think the signage, I think the parking could be tightened up with some specifics. In fact, we already have parking requirements for a lot of these things.
Or land area.
Yeah. I think buffering could be tightened up pretty easily. You know, there's a lot of good examples on the internet for that. So it's really only the kind of design and the elevation, and that would be more of a discretionary process.
And I've seen too where with the special use process that can be almost unofficially a little bartering there. You know that. Because you have the right to put conditions on the project through the special use, you know. And, you know, it's not like it necessarily stated outright, but that you say, you know, I think we'd probably approve this if you could do one more layer of buffering or one, you know, five more parking spaces or, you know. So that they have the option to kind of try to satisfy your concerns and get approved instead of having it be all or nothing, which is kind of good.
But I think a lot of the issues is there's always a dumpster issue when you're back at a residential, and we had that problem with the one where Fishtails used to be, where he's putting the dumpster in a pit and sitting right behind a nice subdivision. But if it is special use, you could, we didn't have any leverage at all. It was like, that's where our dumpster's gone.
Right.
It doesn't matter. You had no choice.
In fact, a lot of people don't realize that a special use permit, you could withdraw that use. I mean, a lot of people don't realize that there's actually a lot of leverage that if they don't do what you ask them to do, you can say, well, you got to shut down because you withdraw the special use. And it is a conditional, you know, conditional use or special use, and you can withdraw that permit then. And a lot of government agencies actually don't know they have that power, you know, to make sure that they do follow these things. If we do it strictly as an overlay, it's not a, once they're approved, they're approved.
That's right.
You know, in this process right here. So, you know, we may want to make it a special use just in case, you know, they do start violating the things. You know, let's say they let their landscaping go down. If it's just a mixed use overlay, we don't have the power to withdraw that use. You know, so that's another argument for.
They have to meet the terms of that. Right. It's an actual permit.
We continue that, that
file
use,
a
right.
permit
right.
and. And that's true. I'd like the dumpster thing, I would think that would be reasonable, like on that harmonious aspect. If you know, if the dumpster's going to be picked up at 4 in the morning and the truck's going to be beeping, you say you're going to have 4 regular trash cans or something. You know? I don't think that would be unreasonable.
Okay. I would suggest, obviously, that we, you know, continue this item. And it sounds, and, you know, I mean, my opinion, let's just, you know, maybe get a consensus on it. My opinion is that we kind of pursue what the attorney said here, that in some of the things that we can fine-tune in some details, such as sign, lighting, buffering, landscaping, that we maybe provide some details that are appropriate there. And in some of the areas, we start putting the word harmonious in there, and that we rewrite the front end just slightly. I don't think it needs to be rewritten a whole lot, but we have the overlay district, but then anything that goes in there also is a special use permit. So it's not only the overlay district with these allowable uses, but these uses also require a special use permit. So I think we could probably tweak that in a way that would probably satisfy your concerns.
Yeah, I think if we take the very first sentence of item E, application, to say applicant for a use permit in the K Avenue Mixed Use District must apply for a special use permit from the town of Curry Beach, period.
Right. I mean,
then tweak the remainder of it, just to add special use for a period after town of Curry Beach. Right. Very emphatic. That defines it.
And it might be that you could say this is what you need for your application of the special use permit, but then the criteria for approval might be a more standard special use language like the harmonious and the health and welfare and all that.
Well, with the detail, and, you know, this is going to be I'm anticipating a fair amount of controversy about this. This is why we need to protect the people that are already over there, and we're very concerned about making sure nobody's going to get approved to put something in there that damages the property value or the lifestyle of anybody in that's around here. So we've got to be very careful that we err on the ambient side and how attractive it is versus erring on the other side. Any comments? Well, I would propose that we continue this item until the next meeting. I will volunteer to perhaps write a, since you know, I'm passionate about sign issues, offer to write maybe some detail associated with the sign element for our next meeting and bring it in for language.
I'll volunteer for landscaping, see if I can put something on that.
Okay. Would you like to volunteer for buffering?
Sure.
Okay, and again, it's probably just Googling some examples that are out there. And it's buffering, and what we're talking about is buffering the air conditioning units on the top or the garbage areas at the back, you know, that sort of thing. And Alan, would you want to try light?
Toughest one.
All right, so we've got lighting, sign, landscaping, and buffering, and I think those are the areas that we could probably tighten up. And then when we get together, we can talk about the language of harmonious and how to deal with the term special use permit and make sure this is also a special use permit in addition to the overlay district. Okay. All right. Is there a motion to continue? Second? Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right, that's the only thing on old business, new business. I guess just two real quick things. One, do we have any information about window signs and gas stations?
I went and met with Diana the other day.
And digital window signs?
Yes. He's going to be removing it.
Okay, all right.
He just put it up the other day. It cost $2,700. He was obviously a little heartbroken, but he understood. And
clearly against the ordinance.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah. Okay, all right. The other item is our July meeting. I won't be able to be here in July. My son is in the national championships for fencing, which is right at that time. So I've got to go to Ohio with him, obviously. And we have actually canceled our July meeting, either July and or August in the past because of summer. But I won't be here, and it's up to the rest of the committee to decide what they want to do. What I will do is, if the committee does want to meet, obviously, for our scheduled meeting, is I'll have the language for signage submitted in the next week or so.
Well, when is it July 2nd?
July 2nd. July 2nd is Tuesday, and then the 4th is Thursday. So, do you want to still meet on the 2nd?
Yeah, I'll be there, and I'll be gone. I've got a commitment with the Department of Defense until the 19th. So, I mean, July is pretty well out for me until the 19th.
Okay.
I'd rather have as many of us together as we can, so we'll just skip to July.
So, keep July in. Yes?
Skip it. Skip July.
We got two saying skip?
Three
saying skip it.
Okay.
Skip July.
Is there a motion to, because I know we have to announce that in the public.
Unless you want to come down here.
Yeah, if you want to meet.
Sure.
Okay, is there a motion to cancel our July meeting or have our next meeting in our normal August?
I'll make a motion to cancel the July 2013 meeting.
Okay, is there a second? Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right, great. I've seen that information be passed on to John. Mm-hmm. Can you send that in my way so he knows?
Craig,
I'll just take care of that.
I will not be here. I probably won't be here for your August meeting.
It'll take us a couple.
I will be somewhere in Canada.
Okay.
And in July, I'll be in Denver. So.
There's really not a lot of hurry. I know we were charged to do this, and we're pushing ahead, and we don't really have anything else active right now, so it's good that we're doing this. Just any other member items, since we have our representative from the council here, is there anything of being discussed right now in the council that might come to the commission that we should be aware of?
Can't think of anything right offhand. Some things that you may be interested in, I'm not sure how much they really apply to the commission. Of course, the biggest thing going on right now is one of the biggest beach renourishment and Carolina Beach trying to extend their contract with Congress. And I would like to say, regardless of what you read in the paper, it's Mike McIntyre who has been working on that with the Carolina Beach officials and the rest of us to get that extended. Not any of our legislators. Wrightsville Beach will be doing theirs next year. Ours goes to 2047 or something. So it's not necessarily a consideration for us, except that at least a third to a half of the beach renourishment we've had done for many years is in the Carolina Beach area. It's not even in Curie Beach. So sooner or later, that may become an issue. It's an issue with me having Curie Beach residents pay taxes to have Carolina Beach renourished. The other one is what's coming up with the Wildlife Commission, the National Wildlife Commission, and designation of, there are a couple of different designations, but basically, Pleasure Island, along with some of the beaches in Brunswick and Carteret, really from the Outer Banks all the way around Florida over to Arkansas, Missouri, designated as a wildlife endangered species area because of the loggerhead turtle. And we requested that we have a public hearing on that in this area, which they have promised to do, but we also requested an economic analysis of what the impact would be to this area for, you know, charter boat captains, tourism, everything. And they're supposed to have that to us by the end of the summer, and then the public hearing soon thereafter. Worst case scenario, it closed down the beaches from April through October.
That's pretty worst case scenario. That's a pretty significant worst case
scenario. No more building on the beaches, so obviously home builders are very upset. And if your house is destroyed 50% or more, I guess, in a storm, you cannot rebuild it.
How many turtles are actually on our beach? I've gone around, I mean, I'm walking up and down the beach, and I see the, you know, the fences. I don't see a lot of them.
We got our first one, and we could have anywhere from zero, I think the most is about 18 or 19, one year.
About 20. My wife's really low on that, so I think most of that has been used.
Yeah. About 20. Over in Caswell Beach, they have as many as 45. They already have 20 this year. Mm-hmm. So it comes and goes. We'll tell you Freeman
Park. I think I've only seen one fence around here.
Freeman Park is the only property that is not just a municipal jurisdiction, but a specific area that was identified in the federal registry. You cannot drive on the beach, cannot have fires, you can't walk on the beach, you can't sit on the beach. You can't do beach renourishment during those months, which the Corps of Engineers knows, but you cannot dredge the inlets. If, you know, something happened and they had to be dredged for our charter boat captains to get out there, say August or September, we wouldn't be allowed to do that. You cannot take the sand from the inlets and put it on the beaches, which we always been doing. And then there's a lot of military stuff on there. Oh, and if there's a very bad storm, you're not allowed to remove debris from the beaches. So that if the Riggins swimming pool goes into the ocean again, we can't require them to remove all that concrete from the beach. And, oh, and wildlife, like dogs digging up the eggs. Of course, we're supposed to do something to prevent that, but we're supposed to prevent wildlife, too. The foxes, the coyotes, from digging up the nest. So it's really pretty radical. I mean, the Endangered Species Act passed back in the 70s, but they're just now, because of court cases, getting around to deciding how they're going to implement it. And it'll probably come down to us having to develop a plan on how we're going to implement all those things, but we will be required to implement them. And so I guess you guys are kind of borderline there. Certainly hope you're concerned about all of this, because I mean, I love turtles more than anybody, and I've set them many, many, many a night. But I also have to, as an elected official, have to think about our economy and what it would do to tourism and our businesses and our charter boat captains and everybody else. And there's got to be
a Civil War II is coming.
So, you know, and in Florida where they do those scrapers, like Carolina Beach has one to clean the beach, right. And Carolina Beach does it on Freeman Park. The towns in Florida do it constantly.
Well, California does also. You have all the kelp there and everything. It cleans it up and makes it look really nice, too.
No longer be allowed to do that ever again.
Wow. So. One other issue I know that's out there that's been in the paper, I just didn't know, it doesn't really affect us, but it does in some way, and that's the offshore wind turbines, the status of that. And you know, I noticed that it looks like that's going to happen. It doesn't look like it may affect us that much, given where the plots are, unless you look way down in that direction. But it doesn't look like it's going to be right off of our beach right now.
New Jersey has probably pushed it the most, but North Carolina has been classified as having the best possibility of, because of our winds off there. And
but it's really going to affect Oak Island. It's going to be right off of Oak Island.
It's really more of a federal issue. It'll probably be at least 30 miles off, so I don't know how much you will be able to see them. I'd say the big thing everybody's going to be concerned most of all is insurance. I mean, we're looking at July 1st, a 19.3% increase in just the immediate five counties, higher than anybody else on the North Carolina coast or anywhere in the state. And then flood insurance, when they come out with the maps and all, I swear, I am not exaggerating, depending on how your house or business is built and where the floodplains are, and Wrightsville Beach especially will be hit hard with this, you could have anywhere from $18,000 to $30,000 a year for flood insurance. So, wind turbines aren't really on the line right now. So, you know, some of us may not be able to live here anymore. I think we'll do better on the flood insurance.
Because we're high.
Than some of the other places.
Supposedly, ours is becoming less restrictive, but I believe it when I see it.
The presentation I saw recently that had to do mainly with Wrightsville Beach. There's hardly a commercial or residential building that's not going to be hit so hard. I don't see how they can.
This is just a comment as an economist, because the whole idea of insurance is that you pool risk. The whole fundamental concept is that you pool, get a lot of people, and you pool the risk in it. And the more they're focusing on, say, a beach area and the flood zone and things like that, the less it's pooling, because you're identifying certain specific areas. And it seems to me the objection of this whole thing should be that the whole idea is to pool the risk. People in the mountains have a risk. People, you know, in other flood areas around rivers and streams have a risk. The whole idea is that it should be pooled statewide. But that's not what these insurance companies are doing. That's not what the insurance commission is allowing. They're allowing them to do basically kind of spot zoning, but here's spot insurance.
Our insurance commissioner lives in Mecklenburg. So this past year, they got a decrease.
The whole idea is to pool risk.
And we got, 17%? And now we're looking at another 19.3%. Which is higher than that.
Has there been any talk about self-insurance? Simply say, well, we don't need an insurance company. The town of Curie Beach, everybody is going to self-insure here through the town of Curie Beach. And take it. I mean, if you're talking about $15,000
$30,000. For flood insurance.
Yeah, for flood insurance, is maybe the town of Curie Beach can be active in that. Simply say, all right, we're going to have the self-insurance process. Everybody contributes $1,000. Knock on wood that no flood's going to hit for a while until the pool can get built up a little bit, and simply have an agreement that if something hits, the pool is a certain amount, and you're going to allocate it to the people, you know, based upon what their needs are, and the pool's done, it's done.
It's a self-insurance process.
You know,
in one of the presentations I saw, they were talking about how, you know, it's only required if your property is mortgaged, and your mortgage company will require it. And a lot of people are just taking that extra money, dropping flood insurance, and taking that money they would spend on it and tucking it away to pay to rebuild their property.
That's what I used to do with my cars. I paid cash for my cars, and I haven't had collision insurance for 25 years, and I hit deer and totaled my car. So, I was way ahead until last week. So, self-insurance does work. I'm probably ahead in the long run, but that was a big bite because I haven't been saving my money. So, all right, is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second? Okay, all in favor? All right, see everybody in August.
Did we have a special use permit currently? Is there any asset?
We don't have anything. Nothing that's been a plus.